Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Inyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer. And welcome to part two of Real Science Radio's list of the fathers of the physical sciences who were creationists.
Fred, so many of these guys believe that God created us. They rejected natural origins.
And that's right. So on this program, we're rebutting the constant atheist criticism that only uneducated people, only those ignorant of science, reject evolution.
Yeah, that's what they say. Yeah, Fred, I guess you and I reject evolution, so obviously we have never learned anything about science.
That's right. We're uneducated.
Yeah, we should rename this show to something like, forget Real Science Radio. It should be something
False
like
Science
Real,
Radio.
Real Friday Radio. No. Okay, so yeah. So last week, we listed fathers of science from before Darwin. We're going by the year that they died. And so they included men like Copernicus and Bacon and Kepler.
Galileo, Pascal, Boyle, Newton.
Yeah, Cuvier, Dalton. So many of the fathers of the natural sciences, they rejected naturalistic origins. But it's claimed that these guys lived before Darwin, so they had no alternative. And you know what? I don't even buy that argument.
Yeah, well, it's completely false. There were many schools of naturalistic origins that went way back through history.
Yeah,
for thousands of years.
For thousands of years, there were, you know, leading thinkers who would argue that either the world has always been here or that animals arose through natural processes.
And who would you say is the most prolific writer in creation right now?
Prolific? Who's written the most?
Yeah, maybe the most prolific with degrees, too.
Yeah, that's right. Dr. Jerry Bergman, longtime friend of Real Science Radio, he has about 1,000 papers, books to his title.
Yeah, he's amazing.
He is.
And he's a great writer, too. Very easy to understand.
Yeah. Extremely well-researched, thorough. He's not married. He couldn't be, right?
Yeah,
it's not possible to be married and... And he's not even a human being. He's a machine. But Jerry has written, he has documented the history of all the theories of evolution. And not only going back anciently, but even around the time of Darwin, even just prior to Darwin, you know, there's the co-discoverer of the theory of natural selection, Alfred Russel Wallace, who Britain considers him to be, in fact, the co-discoverer of the theory of natural selection, yet Darwin read Wallace's work.
Yeah, and he rushed his Origin of Species to the press.
Yeah, but then there were others, too, who preceded Darwin, even shortly before he published his work.
Yeah, there was this guy named Edward Blyth, and he came up with really the first ideas of natural selection. You know, that
Sexual selection.
Elucidated those ideas. Of course, you can go back farther than him.
Oh, yeah. And Bergman does a fabulous job of that. One of his books, Dark Side of Darwin, he covers these ideas. But even more recently, he's published in one of the creation journals. An astounding list. So you didn't need Darwin to accept naturalistic origins.
And not only that, this Blyth was a creationist. He took this view from a creationist point of view.
Oh, right. Which is really why he wasn't celebrated.
Yep.
Same thing with Alfred Russel Wallace. When I went to the British Museum of Natural History just a year ago, they have this statue in marble of Charles Darwin right up the steps of their main lobby of this gorgeous museum. And then you turn right and you go up another flight of stairs. And here's this painting on the wall of Wallace.
Wallace, yeah.
And they have a little plaque, and it says, co-discoverer of the theory of natural selection. Nobody stops to look at the painting. Everybody is around Charles Darwin.
Yep.
So I'm waiting for people to bow down and kiss his marble foot. So, Fred, today we're going to list many of the leading fathers of the physical sciences after Darwin. Because last week the list was before Darwin published his Origin of Species. Do you remember what year that was?
Yeah, it was 1859.
Oh, yeah. I remember that easily because it was exactly 100 years before my birthday. I was born in 1959.
So that's easy for you to remember.
Yeah.
If anyone asks you when that book was written.
Yeah, I just rip it right off.
Yeah, and that was a racist book, by the way.
racist.
Yeah. They always leave out the second part of that title.
The subtitle was The Survival of the Favored Races.
Favored Races.
Yeah. And Darwin was racist. And if you want to hear it in his own words, go to American Right to Life's website. Right on their homepage, there's a link, Darwin in his own words.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could go to AmericanRTL.org/Darwin, and you'll see how despicable it was. I mean, he was a racist.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Yeah. And the left always holds these people up, and yet they're supposed to be, you know, the anti-racist.
Yeah.
You know, Margaret Sanger comes to mind. So many of these bad characters in history.
So today we're going to be talking about these fathers of the physical sciences after Darwin. So they rejected naturalistic origins, and they'll include Faraday, Pasteur,
Joule, Kelvin.
Yeah.
Lister, Carver.
And Carver. So, these guys, they continued to advocate for special creation.
That's right. Now, are we arguing from authority?
Oh, an argument from authority, because it's a, what, an informal logical fallacy?
Yeah.
That you quote someone in authority and you say, see, this means that we're right.
Yeah.
So is it wrong to quote people in authority? No, it's not. That's okay. But that doesn't prove your position. Just because somebody in authority makes a point that agrees with you. But Fred, we are not making an argument from authority. We are answering that atheist criticism that you mentioned at the top of the show. That's just constant. That only uneducated people, only those ignorant of science reject evolution. And our answer to that criticism is perfect.
It is.
It couldn't be more perfect.
Yeah, because these guys are the fathers of the physical sciences.
Yeah, right. So as the fathers of the physical sciences, by definition, they cannot be scientifically ignorant.
That's right. These guys weren't stooges, you know?
No, I don't think so. Imagine, Isaac, your homework for this week is to figure out what makes colors.
Yeah.
What makes things different colors? And he comes up with light waves, the length of the wave. Pretty brilliant.
Yeah, and maybe that really happened, and they're just trying to keep him busy for a while because they're, you know, he's bothering them. And then he comes up with an answer. It's like, what?
Okay, now figure out why apples fall down and not up. comes back. And he's considered one of the greatest scientists of all time. The greatest.
If not the greatest. Yeah.
And he was before Darwin, but of course he loved God. The creator God of the Bible.
Yeah, as we mentioned last week, he spent more time writing about the Bible than he did science.
Yeah. So, Fred, these fathers of the physical sciences, their discoveries, when you look at them and you look at our world today, our modern civilization, all of our progress, technology, medical advances, enormous achievement, so much of that has followed on their work.
It has. Absolutely. But has it followed on Darwin's work?
What invention, what discovery, what technology is based on Charles Darwin?
We've had a show on that.
We did. In fact, we should give our list of the inventions and the technologies because nothing has depended on Charles Darwin in all of our advances. So, whether it's airplanes or cell phones, rocket ships, MRIs, we even interviewed the creationist inventor of the MRI.
That's right.
Raymond Damadian. What a neat guy.
Yeah.
In fact, he called here today.
Oh, okay.
And I had sent him an email like a month ago, Fred, and he wants to keep in touch. And we said maybe we'll do another interview because people love that interview.
Yeah. Yeah, he's great. He has the first patent on the MRI.
Yeah.
Patent number one.
Yeah, basically number one on the MRI. And
yet he didn't get the Nobel Prize for it.
No, because he's a creationist.
Exactly.
But if you want to hear that interview, rsr.org/MRI. So fun. But anyway, none of this stuff is based on Darwinism. And you know what? It's not even based on the Big Bang either. Like Lawrence Krauss says, oh, this stuff is all based on... Well, when they changed their theories on origins... Does your cell phone stop working when they say, oops?
Yeah, oops, we got that wrong.
There must have been an inflation period. Oops, there must be dark matter. Oops,
Or is it the gravity waves that they were so excited about?
Oh, yeah. 2014. They said, here it is, the proof of the Big Bang.
30,000 likes on all the different news outlets, 30,000+, 40, 50,000. And then they find out they're wrong. It's just space dust.
They retract it.
They retract it, and those pages have like 100 likes, 200 likes.
47 likes. Yeah, right. So at any rate, let's go through our list, and we'll ask the audience this question. And think through with us. Even if you're an evolutionist, which of these inventions needed Darwinism to develop? Which? And the first is a light bulb.
Yeah.
Do we need Darwinism?
No, we don't need
the electric light.
We don't need anything about natural selection and random mutations to get a light bulb.
How about vacuums? Vacuums are important in modern technology.
Nope.
Pasteurization?
Well, we'll talk about Louis Pasteur later.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah.
Because he's one of the fathers of the physical sciences.
That's right.
After Darwin.
Yep. Yep. Nope. Don't need evolution or Darwinism for that guy.
Nope. Nope.
Railway.
Railway. You know, I read Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged, all about a railway magnet and all.
Oh, okay.
Huh. And reared in metal and all that.
Huh.
Target, transcontinental. But, no, railways just didn't need Darwinism.
We didn't.
No.
A typewriter.
Yeah, for him. No. In fact, her name, Ayn Rand, sorry I'm off on a tangent, but Ayn, because it rhymed with mine, and Rand, because that was her typewriter. She made up that name, Ayn Rand.
Huh.
She was an atheist.
Yeah.
And she was pro-adultery, of all things.
Oh, my goodness.
And she thought that, you know, marriage is just the God thing, so forget it.
Yeah.
When her partner, some guy, started having an affair with a younger gal, Ayn Rand freaked out.
Yeah, of course.
Like, what's the matter? What's with your objectivism? I thought it didn't matter.
Yeah.
Because she argued that it didn't matter.
Oh, my goodness.
It didn't matter until it happens to you.
Exactly.
Right.
What about the electric motor?
That needs evolution. No, it doesn't.
Okay.
The carburetor, speaking of cars. Yep. How about the PA system? Loudspeakers?
Well, they try to use a loudspeaker to try to, you know, tell people evolution is true and how many times you hear that.
But you don't need
evolution through the loudspeaker
to make a loudspeaker.
Yep.
Telephones? No. Phonographs? Microphones? We're using microphones right now. I think Lawrence Krauss even said, you're speaking on the radio right now, Bob.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh,
radio. Explain how your God, Darwin, made all this happen.
Right. The microphone is dependent on biological mutation and natural selection. Photographic film, which is history now. Everything is digital photography. Fred, we went to Rome, our Bible tour of Italy, and we went to the Vatican and the Sistine Chapel. It's all astounding.
Yeah.
And Kodak had just given the Vatican $10 million to get the rights to sell film exclusive in the Vatican. And so they paid to refurbish the ceiling. And just when they cut the check, film disappeared off the face of the earth.
Oh, my goodness.
People only use digital cameras now.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
It was, what a, what a fiasco.
Yeah, well, at least
poor
they got
Kodak.
The nice work. At least,
on the ceiling.
Know, yeah.
All the naked men over there. I don't know. They're obsessed with naked
men.
What is
it with that?
I don't get that. But anyway, Fred, seismographs?
No, that's evolution.
That's awesome, though, right, for studying.
Oh, absolutely.
What's going on beneath our feet in the earth.
Solar panels. That's a favorite of liberals.
Yeah, they love that,
yeah.
But you didn't need evolution. And there are punch cards. You might remember those.
Oh, man,
I remember those.
Fortran.
IBM Fortran.
AC transformer, contact lens.
The tractor, the ballpoint pen, cinematography, wind energy.
What about the zipper?
Zippers, they're pretty cool.
Yeah, they are.
An escalator.
Except where they don't
work. X-rays, remote control, tape recorders, air conditioning, which I happen to love.
I just thought of something. You know, evolution and Darwinism does actually apply to these when they break down, like when a zipper stops working.
Well, right.
Because it suffered like a mutation. You know,
mutations, it's
wearing out.
Are harmful.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah,
and
they break
down.
And
I naturally go select another pair of pants.
Yeah, you do, don't you? So, firefighting foam, that stuff's cool. Neon lamps, an EKG.
EKG, yeah.
Electrocardiogram. Airplanes, seismometers, sonar, radio waves.
The television.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
What about rockets?
Rockets, yeah. In fact, the father of modern rocketry, I never include him. He's not included in our list.
Yeah.
Because he not only worked for the Nazis, but he never really publicly apologized. And so I just don't include him. Some creationist will include him. I don't even mention him.
Yeah.
Because
he's not an atheist or anything like that.
No, he was a creationist and the father of literally modern space travel in a way.
Yeah.
But I just don't want to give him credit.
Yeah.
Because he didn't apologize. If he ends up we see him in heaven and he's sorry, well, that's a different matter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But anyway, so rockets, evolution has no part of it. I don't think evolution could explain pop bottle rockets. I mean,
yeah, right. Radar, sliced bread. I like that one.
Yeah.
Transfusions. Think about William Harvey. We covered him last week.
Yeah, that's right.
Steel. Speaking of Ayn Rand and Atlas Shrugged. A radio telescope. Jet engines.
Yeah. Jet engine. You know, that was something, late World War II.
And you know that in the middle of the jet engine, there's that solid piece. It's like some kind of an air baffle or something. And we did a show many years ago where we showed, it's on Real Science Radio's website, we showed a picture of a falcon's beak, and it has a hole in it for air so it could breathe while it's flying, 100 miles an hour, diving through the atmosphere. And in the middle of that hole is the same design necessary to stop the turbulence so that the air will flow in properly.
Yeah,
it's
amazing.
A stunning comparison. The jet engine with, I think it was a falcon's beak.
Wow.
Just awesome.
Hey, what about the computer? We got a laptop right here, right?
Yeah. And Velcro, transistors, atomic clocks. Oh, we interviewed John Hartnett, his clock is used by atomic clock installations around the world to calibrate their clocks.
But he's uneducated.
Yeah, he is. Right. He's a published physicist, young earth creationist. And nuclear reactors, fiber optics, hard drives, satellites, spandex, spam. I don't know why we put spam in there, but spam.
Spam, you mean spam, email spam, or the,
no,
the
email,
food?
Spam.
That old food. I can't, does that food even exist anymore?
I think
we got to take this off the list. I think evolution did create that one.
Yeah, that's right. Lasers, optical discs, 3D holograms, LED, which is taking over lighting these days.
Yep.
The mouse, the lunar lander, Venus lander, video games, video cassettes, space station, email, karaoke. Come on, karaoke. Really? No. LCD. No, karaoke's awesome. LCD, microprocessor, Ethernet, the PC.
We didn't mention Al Gore, did we?
No.
Okay.
That was
the internet.
He's an evolutionist who invented the internet.
The internet, yeah.
Hey, Ethernet and internet. They're
pretty similar.
Yeah.
But
3COM. And the beginning, the founder of 3COM is the guy who first took two computers and he stretched a cable between them.
Oh, really?
And he sent bits from one to another.
Wow.
And everybody freaked out. This was the most astounding thing. That was the beginning of the internet. Just like, when did automobile racing begin? Do you recall that? It was when they made the second car. That's when racing began. And so, DNA sequencing, so we can understand what's in there. The internet, plasma TV, GPS, MP3 player, flash drives, and on and on and on and on. Our modern world doesn't require Darwinism for all of our technology and progress.
Nothing from Darwinism.
Nothing. Oh.
If someone can think of something, hey, email us, call the show, let us know, and we'll talk about
it. We've been asking for this for 10 years the air. Oh, wait. Because you and I started in 2006.
Yes.
Real Science Radio. And before that, Bob and Your Life started in 1991, 25 years ago. And we did science shows pretty regularly back then. But I could think of one thing.
One thing.
Technology that was based on Darwinism. It really was.
Okay.
It was in the Soviet Union.
Oh, yeah.
And then after the Soviet Union fell apart, still in Russia, it was their attempt to use mutation to advance crops.
Yeah.
They did this for decades. They were so determined. They just didn't want to give
up. Atheistic society.
They spent tens of millions of dollars because they're true believers,
Yeah.
And all the big communist regimes that slaughtered people by the millions, tens of millions, they're all intensely Darwinist, survival of the fittest, all that.
Yeah.
Fred, they were certain that by mutating their crops, they would get better crops.
Yeah, that's just amazing.
It's just so stupid. There's some people who think that will work in engineering, aren't there?
Yeah, genetic algorithms. You know, yeah. I don't know how many times I've heard that. I only hear about it when I'm debating an evolutionist who's most time they're not an engineer. Yeah.
Because you've been an engineer for...
Yeah, about 35 years.
A software engineer.
Yep.
We're not talking about a Monte Carlo calculation where you're refining the value of a variable. That's all so well designed.
Oh yeah, and you've got intelligence involved.
Just mutating to try to get the
best
thing.
The best FPGA design, and you know, get it in an ASIC. Yeah,
yeah, it's ridiculous. There,
it is.
Okay, so here's their unsound argument to sum it up, Fred, that you hear from atheists, including Lawrence Krauss, physicist on this show, Real Science Radio. Scientists are experts in operational physics, in chemistry, biology, and most scientists believe in naturalistic origins, therefore evolution must be true.
Yeah,
that is an unsound argument.
Yep.
And in the field of logic, an unsound argument, that's a capital crime.
It is.
That's a mortal sin.
And before I ever got into this debate, that's the first thing I heard, and I even then thought, that's not a reason to believe it.
Right, exactly. So now let's go after Darwin, and the first scientist that we've listed, and some of these are pretty well known, Fred, and some are not at all. Michael Faraday is the father of electromagnetism, and it was because of Michael Faraday that electricity became practical to use in technology.
Yeah, amazing.
So that's pretty awesome. You know, we hear about Benjamin Franklin putting up a kite, putting keys on it or whatever. But Michael Faraday is the scientist who began to formalize our understanding of this field.
Yeah.
And
he died in 1867, but can you imagine today not having electricity if all of a sudden you lost electricity? I mean, for an extended period of time.
Right.
It's annoying enough when it goes out for like an hour.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you're in panic mode.
Yeah.
You just feel like, what am I going to do with my life?
Right. And, you know, speaking of which, our grid is vulnerable.
Yeah,
the
absolutely.
Grid. It's vulnerable to just decay, like you were talking about earlier.
My brother-in-law works for public service. He's a power engineer.
Yeah.
And he's very frugal. But when he goes out and buys a nice generator, I knew I better do the same thing.
That's
a statement to me.
Well, our grid, the electric grid, is vulnerable to attack.
Absolutely.
I mean, terrorist attacks are real.
Yep.
Obviously, even the most dense, politically correct person should realize that Islamic terrorists want to kill you.
Yeah.
And they want to disrupt your life. And so the grid, I mean, that's one thing that our country needs to invest in, modernizing the grid.
Yep, 100% agree.
Yeah. The idea of an electromagnetic field in physics, just so crucial. Faraday also figured out that a magnetic field can affect rays of light. And
that's amazing.
It's astounding, right?
Yep.
Now we're going to get to another scientist in a bit who helped us figure out a lot more about that. But to have these insights and to figure this stuff out, it's exciting. And he was a creationist. He believed that God made us. He rejected naturalistic origins.
Yeah, just think of those sensors you drive under, you go up to a stoplight. I know some of them are changing to like a camera.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, that's all based on his original work.
Yeah. Hey, Fred, I always wondered, you know, when you pull up in Denver, wherever, all over the country, but even years ago, you pull up and the light knows you're there and it turns for you.
Yeah.
And so I always wondered, you know, how does it work? And I wasn't quite sure because I try to figure out, well, when a motorcycle pulls up or a car pulls up, what is it doing? So in Denver, I pull up at a red light and right next to me is a crew installing those little lines in the road in the lane next to me.
Yep.
And I thought, I hit the jackpot. I'm going to ask these guys, how does this work? I figured it was electromagnetism, but I wanted to know. I think this was even before the internet. You couldn't just search or just ask Siri.
Yeah.
Or, okay, Google, how does this work? So I asked these guys, and a guy came over, and he said, And I said, how does this work? And he said, I have no idea. I couldn't
He's
believe
just installing it.
How could you install it and you don't know? I mean, human beings, there's so many who are just not curious.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that. I couldn't do it. I'd have to know how it works. But anyway, you know what he said?
What?
He said, are you Bob Enyart?
No way. Are you serious?
My wife was cracking up. He doesn't know how the thing works.
He recognized
but he knows
you.
Bob Enyart live.
Oh, that's funny.
You know, we were on TV
for quite a
few years.
Oh, yeah, and it was a very popular show. You're competing with the big names.
Nielsen ratings.
Yeah. Yeah, who was that big-time late-night TV guy you were competing with? I mean, similar ratings.
Nielsen ratings, we did pretty well.
Oh, Conan,
yeah, that's right. Conan, yeah. Late Night. And, show, I remember we'd get ratings versus, you know, I don't want to date myself, but Married with Children, even the Olympics.
Wow.
And we were on Late Night, but we did well, and we would frequently beat network programming in our time slot in our cities. Like, for example, in a college town like South Bend, Indiana.
Yeah.
With Notre Dame there.
And there was a Colorado congressman that had you taken off the air for a couple of days. You know, so much for freedom of speech.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What was her name? Pat Schroeder.
Pat Schroeder.
Yeah.
Well, she tried others. They tried investigating Bob Enyart Live. And, it was a lot of fun times.
Trying
really.
To figure out, did they really cook eagle eggs on the air? People ought to get that video.
Oh, and we have it on YouTube.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Go to RSR.org, click on YouTube at the top of the page.
Yep.
Go to our YouTube channel. In our playlist, the Bob Enyart Live Televised Classics, we have the Eagle Eggs video, at least a good part
of it. How did they taste, by the way? Like chicken?
Eagle eggs? Yeah. No, more like spotted owl.
Oh.
Yeah, that was funny when we cooked those eagle eggs. And the Division of Wildlife in Colorado contacted us, the station, said we've gotten complaints up and down the Front Range. You guys killed an eagle egg. And yuck, what did you do to the, you didn't cook an eagle egg on the air, did you? I'm like, anyway, that was a fun time.
Well, we have that chance on, witness of them too.
We have that on YouTube. Yeah. So Fred, we're getting close to running out of time, but maybe we could do one more because we really just started, but Matthew Maury. Now Darwin was 1859, his book, and Maury died in 1873. He was a strong creationist, would quote from the Bible.
Yeah, this guy's great. He's the father of oceanography.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, this guy's cool. He was in the U.S. Navy in 1825, kind of like our producer, but I don't think our producer was in the Navy in 1825.
Yeah, maybe 1855.
Yeah.
In fact, Jamie was in radio in the U.S.
That's
Navy.
That's right. Yeah, now he's still in radio.
Really interesting stories.
Yeah.
Especially one in Manhattan, but we won't tell that.
Oh, yeah. We'll need to interview our producer sometime.
So, yeah, Matthew Maury entered the U.S. Navy in 1825, and eventually he was appointed to be the superintendent of the U.S. Naval Observatory, and it was not for any insignificant reason.
Oh, no.
This guy is astounding.
Oh, absolutely. That's a big deal, you know?
Yeah.
So over the next 19 years, he devoted himself to studying winds, cloud, weather, and ocean features, as well as the Bible. As you know, the Bible says some interesting things about that. So the words of Psalm 8 stuck in his mind, which in Psalm 8 says this, whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas.
The paths of
the paths
seas.
Of the seas.
You know, we have just completed our study in the book of Isaiah, and there's a similar passage in Isaiah. The paths of the seas, and this guy's with the U.S. Naval Observatory, the Navy, and he was really interested in this idea of the paths of the seas.
And he knows the Bible's true, so he's like, I'm going to go find out about these paths in the sea.
They must exist.
They must.
So he studied old ships' logs, which is a brilliant thing to do as a scientist. And from those logs, we're talking many years of effort, he compiled charts of ocean wind and sea currents. And so Fred, to better study the speed and direction of the currents, he set adrift in the ocean bottles, they called them drift bottles, and they would float slightly below the surface of the water so they wouldn't be affected really by the wind, but just by the currents. And there were instructions sealed in each bottle directing anybody who would find them to, when it washed ashore, to return it to the U.S. Naval Observatory. And it's just brilliant.
And he got a lot of these back too.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. He wrote the first textbook on modern oceanography. It's called The Physical Geography of the Sea and Its Meteorology. And he presented oceanography, Fred, from a Christian view.
Yeah.
He included the Bible's teachings. In fact, the Bible goes on at length about the water cycle. And what a neat story. Yeah, I have one of our kids at college, but we'll have to save that for another show. Maybe next week.
And it reminds me of a scene in that movie Nemo. Did you see that movie?
Nemo, yeah.
Yeah. There's the paths of the sea. I mean, they ride this big current to, it's like a transporter, kind of like in space, but this is in the sea. But it's real. It's a real thing.
In fact, he commented on the book of Job, referencing God making the wait for the winds, the wait for the winds. And this is what Maury wrote. Though the fact that the air has weight is here announced in such antiquity, right? So long ago that the air has weight, philosophers never recognized this fact until comparatively recently. And then it was proclaimed as a great discovery.
Yeah.
Yet there it is in the oldest book of the Bible.
Yeah.
So many other things, like God hung the earth on nothing.
Yeah.
One of our favorite Bible verses. Nevertheless, Maury wrote, the fact was set forth as distinctly in the book of nature as it is in the book of Revelation. And Galileo would make the same distinction between God's book of Revelation and his book of nature.
Yep.
For the infant, in availing itself of atmospheric pressure to draw milk from its mother's breast, unconsciously proclaimed it.
Yeah.
Just so neat. So I love that guy. Can't wait to meet him in heaven.
Matthew Fontaine Murray.
Yeah, Fontaine. Matthew Fontaine Murray. And so, Fred, next week, Lord willing, could we continue with the list? I think we could conclude this
with
one more show.
Yeah. This is great.
Okay, so Real Science Radio's list of the fathers of the physical sciences who were creationists. This is Bob Enyart for Fred Williams and Real Science Radio. May God bless you.